Tony Fernandez of Brazil.
And it's now my pleasure to introduce somebody that's really special to me. And if you're here and didn't know you were in for it, you're in for quite a treat. My friend Monty from Tulare. Here, take it away, buddy.
My name is Monty. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Monty.
I'm a kind of drug addict. I'd like to say that I've recovered from the seamlessly hopeless state of mind and body. I've been sober since December 28, 2006. That's 5,505 days. I just had a milestone, man. 5,500 days. That was like really, great. I'm real grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous, to recovery, to my higher power, and to everybody that's helped me along this path. And I've had a lot of help. I want to welcome anybody that's brand new, you know, to a new way to live. If you're willing to do a few certain things like I have to do, as my guest sponsor, do the steps, read the book, be of service. Pretty simple. You know, I complicated it most of my life. I've become an Alcoholics Anonymous since 1985. Okay, that's a long time. You know, I showed you kind of my age. I'm 53 years old. I'll be 53 in a couple of days. There's a guy named Albert that, you know, I have a lot of respect for him for a lot of years. You know, and I went through crying with him, you know, a long time ago. I remember them guys. I think I drove them crazy, you know, because I had so much energy. You know, and, you know, they told me, man, you got a hard road in front of you. You're going to end up in prison. And I hell no, that'll never happen to me, man. Yeah, shit, I spent like 6,200 some days in prison, man. That's a long time to do the math. I get every second of it. I wish that I would have done the program like it was suggested. Instead of trying to do what I wanted to do, because that's what I used to do, was whatever I wanted to do. And guess what? The same thing kept happening over and over and over. You know, because I'd get out of prison and I'd think, I'm going to do it different. You know, but like, I thought I could still like just drink a beer or two. See, but right there I know it's a lie, because like, I never just drank a beer or two. You know, I'd always buy like a 12-pack and, you know, I would think I was going to, but I would end up drinking it all. And, you know, before I knew it, you know, I had a lot of other substances, and life ended up getting real crazy, man. I come from a family that drinking was okay. You know, parties was the way of life. You know, my stepdad was a patch member. And I seen a lot of crazy shit when I was a kid, man. You know, and I was allowed at the clubhouse, you know. We had a lot of fun, man. I seen them guys, man, and I wanted to be just like them, man. I wanted to be wild and crazy, man. And, you know, like a lot of them had jobs, real good jobs, and they had pockets full of money and shit like that. And, you know, but I ran with some of them people because I was accepted because of my father, my stepdad, you know. And my mom had some friends that, you know, owned like, you know, the Santa Fe Station and the Cadillac Lounge and Gilbert's, and, you know, they're tied in with the golf course and stuff like that. And these guys, you know, wore nice clothes and had pressed shirts and tweed jackets, and they always, when they pulled out money out of their pocket, man, they had wads. And, like, you know, most kids grew up wanting to be like doctors and policemen and shit like that. I grew up wanting to be an outlaw, man, a crazy person. You know, when I was about 9 years old, I thought I wanted to be a baseball player, but that went out the door real fast, man, when I started seeing this life. It was very attracting to me, man. You know, and so like I said, I came to AA back in like 1985 because it was a fluke, man. My best friend, he got caught with some of my shit at his house, you know, he said he didn't tell his mom, but they called me and told me I need to come over there. So we went over there, and he's like, you're going to meetings with him. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right. And, like, it's crazy because at a really young age, man, I could relate. Like, I was like, wow, man, they're, like, telling part of my story, you know, and I don't know, it was a trip, man, and I wish I'd tried to use your software way a long time ago, because my life would be a lot different, man. I mean, life's real good today. I have a great life today. You know, I wouldn't have to go to prison for like 17 years. You know, I was 16 and a half years and a little bit of county time a couple times. And, you know, this last prison term, on December 27, 2006, the Tulare County Sheriff's intervened and, you know, I'm driving down the 99 freeway heading to Fresno to do a little business transaction. And, you know, when I'm rolling in a 2006 brand new Nissan Altima car, slammed on 20s, you know, with badass system in it, man, I had that car for like 27 days, 30 days or something like that when I got popped. And I paid $23,500 cash for that car the day I bought it, you know, and, I thought I was somebody, man, and I was a lost soul, man. I have a lot of friends today that still drink and use, and, you know, I'm still their friend, man. They can't get me drunk. They can't make me put any drugs in my body. It's a choice. You know, from doing the steps and trying to live the best spiritual life that I can live, you know, I get to go wherever I want to go today, and I don't gotta live in fear. You know, the book talks about that. You know, it's like being rocketed in another dimension of existence. Like Uncle David Luther would say, you know, I drive a red truck that at one point in time it had yellow flames all over it, and on the dashboard it said Rocket Man. Because that was him, you know. See, in my mind I thought that an alcoholic was him. Because the cops would kick him out of the cop car at like 3 o'clock in the morning in front of my grandma's house. You know, as a little boy, I'd see that, and I thought that's what an alcoholic was. I was on the piss on themselves and shit. You know, but he was a chronic drunkard. You know, and like the book talks about, you know, there's different levels and stages. And, you know, but when I think about it, man, I might not have did some of the stuff that he did, but I was a whole fucking lot worse than he was. You know, he never entered a prison like I did. You know, he got a lot of drunk drivings, a lot of public intoxications, you know, he was like one of the key elements in my sobriety. You know, he came and seen me after I've been busted this last prison term. And I say this last prison term because I believe with all my heart that that was the last one. You know, because like it was a simple prayer, man. You know, the book talks about prayer and meditation, you know, and that morning on December 28, 2006, man, when I came to in that jail cell, I like come off the top rack and I twisted my ankle. And I was on my knees and like something told me to pray, man. Like I really didn't know how to pray, man. I said a bunch of cuss words and it was really hard on myself and, you know, but I think I said the right stuff because, I just asked this higher power to, show me how to stay sober. You know, that was it, man. And I would do the rest, you know, and, I've been sober ever since then, man. And I did almost seven years straight, man, on a half ounce possession. And, transportation for stuff, they called it. That was a usable amount to me, you know, I remember that day, like it was yesterday, and the job that I have today, I mean, I'm employable today because of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps, a sponsor, I'm employable. I have a great job, man. You know, I quit school in 8th grade. Checked out, I still went to 10th grade, but I didn't go to school, you know, I mean, I went, but I wasn't there, you know what I mean? So I was all loaded and drunk, man. Coors Light, Yukon Jack, that was the drink in high school. You know what I mean? And, when I got older, man, I could get served in the bar before I ordered deep beers on the rocks. That's what I drank, man, once you get in the club. And I think the bartenders just thought, man, this dude's got to be of age if he's ordering that drink. And they served me, you know. But I remember that the day I got popped, man. I didn't want to go to jail, but I was trying everything in my power to do what I had T-shirt, and I couldn't make that happen. You know what I mean? And they found it, and, you know, it was the start of this adventure, man, of this new life. I didn't know that it even existed. You know, my mom, my worst nightmare come true. You know, my mother died shortly after I got busted. And, you know, and I'm a selfish son of a bitch, man, because, like, you know, I had just got a big settlement. That's why I bought that car. It wasn't because I was a big drug dealer or nothing like that. It was like I got a settlement, man. I got 47, I don't know exactly how much cash, but it was a lot of money, man, in my pocket. And they gave me a cashier's check at the bank for $23,500 for the Nissan dealership for the car, and then I wanted the rest in 20s, 50s, and 100s. Bunch of cash in my pockets were just back. You know, and they people in the bank were looking at me like, this is crazy. But I was hella messed up, you know, and I don't know, man, I got popped, and she, they let me call her, man, and I was a real thorn in her side, like, you know, they rang the little buzzer in the cell and said, hey, you got, we're taking you up front, get dressed. So I'm going up front, F you, man, I got court, you know, I'm a tough guy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, come in there and beat the shit out of you is what they'll do. You know, I always resisted, man. And the guy says, look, man, your mom's on her deathbed. She's going to die. I'm going to do you a favor, man, and let you call her. The sergeant knows her. And I'm like, so I went up front, man, and she, you know, asked me to get my life together. And I had to, like, think about that question, like, because I thought I had my shit together already, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to prison, man, for I don't know how many years, you know, because all my paperwork, it had three X's, my bail was $1 million, third strike, you know what I mean? They were serious, you know what I mean? Because I've got some pretty fucking crazy charges, you know, in my mind, they're not bad charges, you know, because there's good charges and bad charges in my mind, you're like, because it's institutionalized thinking, you know, still today. You know, after 15 years sober, I still am institutionalized in areas. But she asked me to get my life together, man. And I'm like thinking about it. Like, she's like, are you still there, son? I'm like, yeah, Mom, I'm thinking. She's like, well, God darn, I didn't think you had brain left. Like, she's on her deathbed, man, following me, man. But that was my mom. And most people that knew her, if you come over to our house and you're my friend, you call her mom. You know what I mean? And because she was mom to everybody. And she was a great mom to me. She taught me what was right and wrong. I made all these bad choices. It wasn't the way I was raised. Because I was raised right. You know, they told me not to do the shit that I just wanted to do. You know, like my uncles and my stepdad's friends and gave me all them lectures, you know, and but I still wanted to do it, you know. And but I... See, I've been getting my shit together, man. And I'm like, I'll start when I get out of prison. I didn't know how much time I was getting together, you know. And she's like, no. What happened the last two times you got out of prison? You said you were going to get your shit together when you got out. Like, you know, you're going to get sober. And I it didn't work, man. You know, my will does not work, you know. And I remember the second time when I got out, I swore, man, I wasn't going to do it, man. And, it dropped down to little like Circle K, man, over in where I got released at. But anyways, I didn't know what town I was, to be honest. But I could not like not go in that store and get beer. Like my brain was like, go get a beer, you earned it. You're free now, man. You just did 5 years, you're free. You know, you earned a beer, man. You don't have 5B, like, you know, who cares, right? I already out the gate, I would not care, you know, and the same thing started again, the vicious cycle, you know. But this time it was different, man. Like, I gave my mom my word like I would my homeboy, because that's the word she wanted.
Yeah.
That's what she told me, man. She's like, Bonnie, I want your word like you would give your homeboy. You know, like when you shake your hand and do that little shakes that you kind of do and shit. My mom, I can just see her trying to do it on her hospital bed. But like, I told her, and she was serious. And she said my full name, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and I'm like, so now I'm starting to like trip because like, she's asking me to give up my everything. Like, partying was my life, man. That was like, I love getting high. It was like my girlfriend, man, it was my girlfriend, you know, because I gave up everything for that shit, man. You know, if anybody treated me the way I treated myself, it'd be all like, don't be gone. You know what I mean? That's a fact. You know, because I treated myself pretty bad. Nobody put me in prison. I put me there. Nobody made me sell my cars or motorcycles or my, you know, not pay the electric bill or not pay the rent, you know, because I thought I could just flip it and, you know, hit the rent, you know, it'll. Every time this disease would say, you can do this, you know. But for me, like, alcohol is my poison, man. Like, that's what I do is drink. And then I add everything else with it. But I always drink, man. I love drinking, you know, and, have the ism, you know, period, man. I'm an alcoholic, I know that without a doubt. But, you know, this last prison term, man, my mom told me, man, she told me that I was going to get 8 years, and I said, no, I'm probably going to get about 15. You know, and she's like, no, you're going to get 8 years. And it was crazy, because, like, you know, like, on December 25th, right before I got popped, she told me that I was getting busted by the Larry County Sheriff. I'm like, no, I'm saying that shit, mom, it ain't cool, man. You know what I mean? She's like, I've seen it in a dream. And I'm like, and guess who busted me, man? You know, I should have been any could have been to Larry PD, by Larry PD, could have been Exeter, could have been Woodley, because I was all over, and it was to Larry County Sheriff's. You know what I mean? So now she's telling me that I'm going to get 8 years, and, you know, I'm like, nah, I'm going to go to Anna, it's just what I got. 8 years, man. Like, she already knew, man. You know, that's crazy. And, I got that 8 years, man, and I did it, you know, I did my time, man, you know, this term was different, man, it was rocking and rolling in there, man, it was wild, you know, this term, I think because of that prayer, man, like, first I couldn't get to no AA meetings because there was like a 16-month waiting list in there because the yard was packed, I mean, it's triple capacity, you know, you know, the dorm's only supposed to hold, like, you know, 16 guys. They got 32 crammed in there. You know, the gym's packed. You know, and I'm not going to no fire camp for a few years because I got over the limit of time. So I got to sit in this, I got to sit there for a few years, you know, in hopes to stay out of trouble. You know, and it's hard to stay out of trouble, man. But it was easy this time, man. Like, I only got like one fight, man. You know, and, like, when the dorm kicked off, I was at work, you know, I was, because I had a culinary maintenance job, you know, I was basically a mechanic, good tweaker, take the machines apart, I can put them back together, you know, good tweaker, you know what I mean, but in prison, man, you want to be by the food, you know, that's, because I don't like being hungry, you know, and so I always would get that kitchen job, and I had some skills, and that's like the job I have today, you know, I install solar for a living. And, I got electrical skills and roofing skills and stuff like that. You know, I'm grateful that I still have my brain some, you know, but my process happened, man. I got to Susanville, you know, I sat in another prison for like 6 months and then they did like an override on like some stuff and they said, man, you only got 17 points, man. You're out of here. From the CR down to this little 1 yard. Like, I'm like, what the hell? I better be in a cell. I don't want to go in a dorm, you know. But I went there and it was like, I got a job right away in the kitchen. And I couldn't get to AA, and I tried to, like, finagle some stuff, like, you know, work some deals and say, hey, can you get me abducted? They're like, man, this book, dude, we can't get you in there. And I'm like, cool, didn't have an AA book. But David Luker, man, come and visit me, man. You might hear that name mentioned every once in a while on AA, man. You know, David was a powerful member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I say powerful, man, what I mean is he helps all of them, anybody who was brand new. If you walked in the door and you needed help, man, you put your hand out, he would help you, man. I seen him buy cars for people. You know, I mean, it might not be in dealer cars or whatever, but if he seen you trying and you're riding a bicycle and shit like that, and you were doing it, man, that he went out of his way to help people, man. Because he was, that's what we got to do, man. I'm not saying you got to give your money away like he did. I watched him do some amazing things, you know, for people. But he came to see me in prison after, like, I was busted about 15 months, and he promised me that I'd get an AA book, man, that night before I went to bed. And I told him, don't work like that, bro. You know what I mean? It don't work like that, Uncle. And he says, it does, it does with my God. And I'm like, okay, man. And I still wasn't really serious about staying sober. I didn't believe. And I still had some doubt, you know what I mean? And, well, the 9 o'clock rap channel, they called, they opened the door, and there's three cops. Two of them come in, the other one will lock that door, unlock it, and two will come in, and he'll go to the back door, and he'll open that one, so he just counts and go out like cattle. That's how he counts it. And they opened the door, but they didn't come in, man, and they called my name. I'm like, what are they calling my name? I heard a guy, you know what I mean? And so I get off the rack, I go to the front door, and they're like, and he handed me his AA book. He says, the watch commander said you better read this, because he couldn't show that dude no. I was blown away. Like, you know, I couldn't believe he got me a book, man. You know, it was like, I'd like to say I read it. I think I might have read the liner too. And just closed it, you know what I mean? And wasn't ready yet, man. I mean, I wasn't drinking. I was just lighting up with it, man. Just going through the motions. You know, because in my brain it said that if my homeboy see me doing what I want to do, that I was weak. You know, or stuff like that, you know, and I don't want them to think I was going to be a sky pilot or something like that. You know, because if you're going to be a sky pilot, you got to be a sky pilot. You know what I mean? Period. There ain't no half step in it. You know, you can't hide out there. You know what I mean? But anyways, so I was just staying dry or something, you know. I was sober, man. And next thing you know, my points are good, my time drops, and I end up going to camp. And, you know, I still want to get in a little bit of trouble, you know, because I want to use illegal cell phones and stuff like that. I want to smoke cigarettes, you know, and there's no smoking. And you let me touch a cell phone, I got to call some and set something up. So I got some tobacco now, and I got my own cell phone, and, you know, it's all like Donkey Kong. I'm not going to bring no drugs in, though. I'm going to fuck that shit, you know what I mean? Period, you know, no alcohol, we're not doing it. You know, my homeboy's like, come on, bro. I'm like, oh, man, I ain't going to do it, man, and... You know, I ended up getting caught on a cell phone like 2 weeks later because my homeboy wasn't keeping point, did it. And, once again, my fault, you know what I mean? Went back to the yard and the lieutenant's like, I cannot believe you're back here already. You seem to be the worst prison or fire camp way up in Alturas County, up in the northeast corner of California, California. Way up there, he said, I know you ain't gonna make nothing happen up there. And I get up there and it's like, yeah, I'm laughing now because like, man, it's insanity, but, so anyway, the book says that when the student's ready, the teacher will appear, like, you know, I mean, so that's what I'm getting to. So I go back to the yard, I end up going to the best camp, which I thought was the best camp because they had the best hobby program, and that's part of the court, you know, Redwoods, you know, Jacksonville Demonstration Forest, and that's beautiful. You can do time, man, you know, I mean, it's that city, it's like, in the middle of the forest to walk around. I thought I was in the land of the lost, you know, where I ain't shit. I just like get out of my CSL. You know, it's like I ain't in prison, man. I'm walking around in the forest. And that's what I would think, man. Like see, I already think that I already plugged into the power because like I was happy up in prison. That's insane, you know. I might say that I got to stay at Department of Court, but my mouth gets me in trouble. You know, the CO talked to me stupid and I like flash back at him and like, you know, who are you, man? You know, and so, you know, I find myself on the list behind the list, you know, and that is, you go to check out, you know, usually, you know, you're going back to the yard, you know, the main line and, you know, they'll tell you, you know, so you already got your little stuff ready to roll. You got your bottle pack and shit like that, you know, ready for the police. And, I'm ready to go to work that morning, and they tell me, step out of the line. I'm like, oh, the list behind the list. Yep, you're rolled up, motherfucker. Run your mouth again. So, it snows in Susanville 10 foot deep. It gets really a lot of snow there. And I wanted out of that dorm real bad, and it was freezing cold, and still strange, man, asking for people to want to work. Nobody wants to go in the course. I'll go about that, man. Because once I get done shoveling all the snow and clearing some paths so they can walk on it, I can run the doors a little bit and get some soups and maybe a cigarette or something like that, you know. And, so I was willing to freeze my ass off out there, man. But C.O. Strange, I worked hard for that dude. And he was a transport officer, you know, because when you're in camp, they don't have guns on the buses and stuff, you know. And Anyways, we get to come out time. He says, this is where it all happens, man. And he gets off the bus, picks some guys up, and he comes on, I'm like, come on, you're staying here. I'm like, no. They told me I'm going to back to the yard. And he's like, you're staying here, man. He said, I did you a favor. Get your ass up. You're staying here. And I'm like, he says, look, you're going to fit in perfect here, man. Trust me, you're going to fit in. And I'm like, I'm looking at it, it's nothing, man. It's desolate, man. Like, I'm like, oh, no. But whatever, man, I guess I'm going to go on the ride. And as soon as I walk in, the sergeant, he tells me, this is your guy's prison. You got to run it. I'm like, he says, every one of us are here working for that Pelican Bay. And we're guards up there. This is your prison. We know what the fuck goes on here, but this is you guys running. If you got a problem with somebody, take it out back, kind of like a man. Come up here, let us know the 101, and that's all good. And I'll be honest with you, man, I've never seen a 101 with a Southsider and a white. And I've never seen a 101 with a Northern and another guy. Okay, I seen them with my own eyes over at this camp. There were some businesses, they really used their brains there to keep a good program running. And it ran pretty damn smooth. And that night after I got done eating chow, I'd like to tell you, I was offered a half a gallon of vodka to have with a handle on a plastic bottle. Here, brother, since I walked in, you want to swig? I'm like, no, I'm good. Thank you, man. Thank you, but no thank you. So I like to be able to say no. You know what I mean? Because it's a choice. You know, my brother comes over to my house, I entertain him, man. There's still some Crown Royal up in the cabinet for him. Serious, you know what I mean? I don't have to fear alcohol or drugs and shit no more, man. I don't want them no more. You know what I mean? I've made that choice, man. You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but like this morning I got up, I prayed and meditated, you know, and I try to help people, man, throughout the day, make a few phone calls, answer my phone. And, but anyways, that night, after the chow, we called Alcoholics Anonymous. And I went in there, I met a guy named Wayne. And I was the only one that went and talked. You know, he asked me a few things about me and asked me if I'd ever read the AA book. And I told him, I wanted to lie and say yes, but I told him the truth. And he's like, well, that's a really good place to start. You know, and I told him, I haven't drank or nothing. Here's since I've been busted. He's like, that's a really good start, too. He says, because I know you guys have stuff. He says, I'll be back in 2 weeks, man. I hope to see you here. You know, and so the next time he came, it was just me and him again. And he asked me, how would I like to be free while I'm incarcerated? That sounded real appeasing to me. That sounded really good. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds really cool. You know what I mean? And he says, well, you got to do the 12 steps, and I'm willing to do them with you. I'm like, oh, man, now I want to run. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to make my brain like, come back with me. You know, and then, but like, I was willing this time. And he says, you know, we can do your steps in 24 weeks. And he comes every other week, and he says, I can't do them for you. You got to write. I can get a little bit of pointers and stuff like that. And so I did them to the best of my ability. You know, and I did them how he asked me to do them, and he took me out through the book. You know, my fifth step, man, he had me write certain things and the causes and the effects, and he had me do this like sex inventory, and he had me do some stuff that I never done before. Okay, and like he shared his with me, man, and I got to feel like I wasn't so unique. I got to feel like there was hope, man. I got to feel like I really don't got to drink no more, man. I don't got to use no more. I don't gotta come back to prison, man. You know? And now, once I did the 12 steps with this guy, like the cops thought I was under the influence. They thought I was fucking loaded, man, because I was happy, swiss, and free, man. I was like set free, man. It was amazing. You know, like in the religion places, man, you get baptized and set free, whatever, most of the time, you know, if you're really doing it. Like, I believe that I was baptized, man, and I'm trying to talk to my friends, and, you know, they're like, dude, you're fucking nuts, dude. You're not going to stay sober. Soon as you get out, man, it's out the gate by 8 in the spoon by noon and back in by 10. That's what they told me. And they're like, man, it sounds real good. You know, I'm like, man, I'm serious, man. And I know what I felt, because I don't self-betray. And like today, since I've been out, I ran into some of these guys. I spoke up north in Sacramento for Narcotics Anonymous and all this other fellowship, but they asked me to speak up there. I went up there and spoke at Agent Ivy, and I spoke for Alcoholics Anonymous down in Bakersfield, me and another member named Brass. And a couple guys were out there, come up to me and said, "Dude, man, you're still sober. Man, I didn't believe you, bro." I said, "Yeah, man, I got a house today, I got a car, I got a truck. You know, I got a badass Evo, dude. I got my daughter in my life. Man, I might tell you about the time it was taught. So I should tell you about my daughter, dude. I get her every weekend." And he's like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude. I didn't even have to go to court, man. Like, me and the mom worked it out, you know." And it was like my sponsor. My sponsor just died, man. Okay, his name is Jeff W., man. He just passed away. And so it's like, I'm looking for a new sponsor. I gotta find him. Can't be sponsored with, you know what I mean? I already know what that entails. That means it's about to make more steps again. You know, that's cool, man. I mean, it's time to out the old and, you know, and end with some new, you know what I mean? New chapter. You know, but Jeff helped me tremendously. You know, but Todd's sober, man. You know, he was in rehab over here in Bakersfield, and we talked now, man. And he said that if he hadn't seen me that night, that he was leaving that rehab that night, man. That's why I come to meetings, still, after 15 years. I've been out of prison since June 29, 2013, and I still go to meetings on a regular basis. Not because I have to, I go because I want to. But back in my mind, I go because I'm afraid of what will happen if I quit on me. Because I know what happens when I quit doing a meeting. I get drunk, and then I use. You know what I mean? I don't know how much time I got left, but I'm very grateful, you know, for this fellowship. I'm grateful for people like Bill. I met Bill right when I got out. When I got out, man, he keeps snatching me up, man. He's like, "Hey, man, you want to speak at the Valley Speaker meeting?" I'm like, "Okay. Sure, bro." And I still was like, "Oh, man, you see, you know, I'm letting somebody see." I mean, like, you know what I mean? So I said, "Mark, you are. I don't try real hard not to do that no more." You know what I mean? Because my friend used to think that when I paroled, I just paroled into a bigger yard. That's twisted. That's how I thought, man. And I don't think like that today, man. Today, I want to help people, man. I have empathy for other people. I got this job that I didn't even think I could get, man. You know, and like a friend told me about it, and I went and applied. The guy hired me, and the one that got me the reference, man, was the lieutenant at the fire camp. Because when I paroled, he said, "Here, you might need a reference." He gave me his cell phone number, and I'm like, and you know what? I almost threw it out the window. You know, when I'm on the bus, I'm gonna throw it out the window. I don't need his number, man. Your help, dude. And I kept it, man. And when John asked me, "You need a reference, man," because we've been out for about 7 years, and I had to tell him the truth, like, man, I've been in prison. We don't have a reference from there. If you're a fire camp, we're about to gap in. I see my the lieutenant gave me his number and said, "Oh, I need a reference to have somebody a call," you know? So he called me back like 45 minutes to an hour later, maybe 2 hours, something like that. He said, "If you work half as hard as that guy said you'll work, I have the best employee, man." And I got there, and I just started learning and, you know, trying to learn everything I could learn like a sponge. You know, trying to absorb, and I still went to a meeting every night. And I was going from 5 in the morning to like 7 at night. Might get off like 7:15. And I was doing that 7 days a week for like 5 months. And I still went to a meeting every night. I think I went to every day in half 2 years. You know, and I know that everything that happened is a direct result of this fellowship and my higher power, period. You can have everything I got. You can take it all away from me. You know, I didn't get much about it. I'm not giving that up, man. I have to give it up. I'm not going to give it up, man. I've been fired. I got myself fired. You can't keep your boss's office door open. You can't do that kind of shit, man. And I did that because I have an anger problem. Right? I kicked his office. I can't even believe it. I wasn't thinking. I lost it for like 3 seconds. And now the door's wide open. You know what I mean? And I want to fight him because he yelled at me. Like, man, you can't do that. So then I got another job like the next day, you know, and the crazy thing was like the boss sitting there kicked the door. I was renting a mobile home from him. So not only did I kick the door open and get myself fired, I got myself kicked out of my pad. Like, you know, it's telling me I gotta move. You know what I mean? And so I, you know, like things worked out, man. Like the house I live in today, I've been in there for the last like almost 8 years. I've been in there since 2015 in May. And with my uncle David Lucas' house, he died in Dell and it soon. And Jack hired me, and guess what? I'd like to tell you that I kept that stuff. I got fired from there too. Because I have a problem. I have an anger problem. You know, and I'm working on it, you know. Jack hired me back a couple years later. I worked for him for, you know, I got another solar job. I worked for him. You know, and then Jack hired me back. And then this job that I have today, I ended up quitting Jack's and I went to work for Sun Power by Sun Solar. And first time in my life that I got a 401k. I have medical insurance. I've got medical insurance for my daughter. Even though she already had it from her mom, but I made a deal with her mom that I pay half of the medical, you know, on top of child support. Because everybody made me put it on mine. And, you know, I was like, well, I'm not going to pay it, you know, because that's what they do. But, and I got a life insurance policy. Right, man? You know, if I fall through and break my neck, man, that's how you get paid. You know, I mean, the person that I put down on the paper. I don't know who it is yet, but there's two people asking. I'll be honest, man, my daughter and my girlfriend. You know, I have a beautiful girl in my life today that I hope I don't mess it up because I'm my worst enemy at times. I make a lot of mistakes and, you know, I try to be as kind as possible. I don't hit nobody. Today, I don't, unless you're a man, I'll fight you. I don't mean, like, I'm not saying, don't think of, I don't want to fight nobody, man. But, like, because I have a problem, man. You know, my baby's mom, and I hate to say this, man, but, you know, I hit her, man. And, me and her talk today, man. You know what I mean? And every time I look at her, I get to remember what a piece of shit I fucking was. You know, I get to remember that. I have not told her I'm sorry, man. By the way, I'm living today and being responsible and paying child support and say, and getting my daughter when I say I'm going to get her, that's telling her I'm sorry. You know, and not repeating my behaviors, period. Because I don't know what went wrong, man. I'm not going to, drugs, alcohol, because I never hit anybody before, I hit anybody after, I don't know what went wrong. You know, and I battled that. You know, my daughter's my hardest obstacle. She's 16 and knows everything. You know, So anyways, welcome out, wise moments, man. If I can stay sober, it's doable. You know what I mean? If I can do it, you can do it, man. So thanks for letting me share.
All right. Told you were in for something special. Hey, thanks, Monty. Love you, brother. We are now going to start the discussion portion of the meeting. We'd like to hear from as many people as possible. So, again, we just ask that you please be mindful of the time that you use in your sharing. There are, like, 23 people with us today, so that doesn't give each one of us a lot of time. So let me turn the meeting back over to Monty, and he can choose some people to share. And there's a list of here. These are the people in person. And then these are all of the online people. These are just phone numbers of people that have dialed in.
Okay, first off, let me hear from Desiree, the one that are you still there? She might have left.
What? Yes, I'm here.
You want to share?
You know what? I'll pass today.
Okay, well, keep coming back, please.
Okay, thank you.
Share from her.
My name is Erica. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Erica.
I just wanted to share a new story. Every time I hear your story, it's always different. I've always been caring for that long, like putting my memories together, even like this timeline, it's always so almost like I blacked out. You know, in January, so a lot of times, you know, when you're consciousness today,
daily reflection.
Daily reflection. I'm going to talk about powerlessness. And that's been a big part in my, AA journey, just learning over alcohol. And, what was going to bring me power after the life. I don't miss it because I did so many wild things. I didn't go out for my stepdad's birthday, and I ended up fighting with my brother and fighting with my stepdad, and burning the whole party. You know what I mean? And it's like that. Asking my sister to take me up on here. She's been drinking. And then I get into it, with another family member because I'm asking her to pick, just all this drama and crazy stuff. And just one after year is go back to the doctor to hear me and do a story and realize that I am an alcoholic. A lot of things that you said in your share, I think, we're completely different people and we've had different experiences, but, there were so many different things that I tried and really just living my life with. And I knew while I was doing it that it was not good. And that I was on this constant and I still just over and over again. That's how I know I probably alcohol. I can look at the things that got really lost, having so many houses, I think it's a penis, spending all that money on drugs and alcohol, several cars, relationships, friendships, so many different things, and poor decisions. So today I'm so grateful. My husband, my kids, and my friends, as relationship with me. That just seemed to work. And going back to, reading the book, and I'm just contacting my higher power, and just working in a program because I know I don't want to keep. And that could rightfully happen to me if I don't.
Thanks, Eric. This guy right here, what's happening?
I'm here supporting my wife.
Okay. Right on, man.
That's good support.
Thanks. Thank you. Glad to hear.
But
Christian. I'm a Christian, an alcoholic.
Hey, Christian.
Thank you, one of your story. I actually heard part of your story one day. It was Love and Pie, and you were one of, and you were telling your story, and what you said right now at the end, that if I can stay sober, it's doable. And after hearing your story, a lot of the stuff you've gone through, and you've done a lot more stuff than I've ever done in my alcoholism. But I was just sitting there listening to your story, hearing a lot of other people's stories and how long they've had, and I'm like, easily 15 years. And I was just I never thought I could do it. And then I was hearing your story, whenever I heard, when I heard your story, I was damn, if this guy can do it, there's no way in hell I can't do this shit. You've been through so much, and I was why the hell do I think I can't do this shit? You hear some people, you think you've done so much stuff, and you hear other people's stories, and they're like, yeah. I got this. I can do this. As people like you and my sponsor and people from mine that I listen to, and they inspire the hell out of me. And you said, you have a bottle of Crown at the house. That's your brother's. You don't have to be afraid of it. My wife drinks, but I tell people, if I have to do a size comparison of my drinking to my wife's drinking is filled nuts. My drinking is freaking life. It was a size comparison. She takes a drink,
she can go like 2 hours without another, or 3 hours without another. And I'm like, man, I wish I could drink like that. You know, every time like you would drink, a guy would drink, I'd buy a sleep, and that sleep would be done in an hour and a half or less. Hers, she makes sleep last like 3-4 days. I'm like, God, I wish I could do that. But now, you know, it's there in the house. I'm not scared of it. It doesn't bother me. I see it sit there, and I'm cool with it. Right now, I work at Four Seasons. Tomorrow will be 3 weeks. I got people coming in buying alcohol. I'm buying beer all the time. I look at it, and I just laugh at it, though. I've got 102 days today. It's crazy, because I had a stock of beer fridge last week, and I downloaded a TikTok all the time, and I started making little TikTok videos. There were like 3 or 4 that I made. And I made them while stocking the beer fridge, because I was in there stocking the fridge, and I was thinking, I was like, man, I don't feel tempted. I don't feel triggered. I don't feel nothing. And I made a little video. I put the phone up, and when you're watching the video, you put words up, and then like a voice reads it off. And I had it, I made it, it read, you're a recovering alcoholic, you gotta stop the beer fridge at work, this shit doesn't phase you or trigger you. And I found it like I was laughing uncontrollably in my head, because I was so happy that, oh my God, I'm around beer, I'm around alcohol. And I'm not even thinking, man, I wonder what that one tastes like, like I used to be. Like every time we go out, someone would have a beer, like, oh man, what's that one like? But it's just crazy, because I never thought I'd get to this point. I know I'm, you know, still a baby at this, I'm still in my baby steps, and I'm still on step one, but working, my sponsor will work in step one. But I don't want to be cocky about it, but I feel like I got this. And I know I can't say that, because there's only, you know, I'm not promised tomorrow, anything can happen. But it's been really good. I will admit, the other day, for some reason, I just had that little voice in my head, like, man, it'd be nice to have a beard. And an even bigger voice, I was talking to my mom about this, and an even bigger voice in my head was like, nah, stupid, you can't do that shit. Like, you know, you have one, and that's it. You take one little sip, and everything you've been working for, everything that you're trying to better, is gone away. Like, I still got a long, long ways to go. But the relationship with my wife's getting better. I'm actually at a job that I like. I actually really like this job. You know, I'm just a clerk at a gas station, but for some reason I've always wanted to be a clerk at a gas station. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, my whole life, like, I've, you know, gone to all these different gas stations, convenience store, and it seems like all their personalities and attitudes, they're always so welcoming and happy. And they meet all these people, and they have all these usuals that they talk to. And I always thought that was really cool. So I've always wanted to do that, and then I finally got that job. And I really enjoy the hell out of it, and I don't want to let that go. It feels really good, and I want to be where you're at. I want to build that one. You know, I want to get to that point and be like, I've got this many years under my belt. And just want to keep it going. But yeah, the whole teenager thing, I can relate to that. I got a teenager and a preteen who think they know the whole world. And that's where my anger comes in. Like, I'm like, but then I got to learn to hone it back. Because, yeah, those teenagers, man, they'll test you. They test you uncontrollably. But, that's all I got with that. With the 24th.
Thanks, Christian. So let's hear from Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie.
For 90 days.
Hey, Stephanie, with your 90 days, use your outside voice.
Our
friends on mic can hear you. Yeah. We'd love to hear what you have to say.
I'm just really happy and grateful, I guess. I talk about this all the time. I haven't seen my son since October 25th. Been visited now with my parents as supervisors about buying for their house, not to do it at like an agency or anything. But I called him yesterday for 4.5 hours. following after all that, because he was a kid, and I just wasn't sure how that was going to play out. It was a little hard because his dad has to bring him to us, and that's really weird to him, but I don't know, I think it's just all part of the process, right? Like, I was feeling really good there at the time, and so this is just like the Lord's way of like showing me like, okay, you start to contact it before you just step. Although I'm only on the second one. Yeah. But I know enough that I have to remedy it, right? Because, like, that's the only thing that I have right now. So, I do have that voice every now and then that's like, yeah, you can have a drink, but I'm like, no, bro, you cannot have a drink. You're one person who's just passed out, blacked out, so there's no one. So I just gotta remember that. It is very inspiring. Thank you, Mommy, to hear your story, though. Thank you for hearing your story. But it's like I can't fathom myself that long from now. But I don't have any other choice, so I know it'll happen. I don't want you to be like, I think it's really talky. But I think I got this, you know? Like, most days I think I got this. But this is the biggest part of what you're using and drinking. And so for me, tomorrow is a big milestone.
I'm not going to make it at all. But I am still here. Still quiet. Still doing much shit. And stuff like that. Didn't let me tell me that. Thank you. I'm lying about that. So, like, 15 years ago, I never thought I'd get sober. If you had told me that I was going to get sober, I'd say, share what you're sharing, what you're on. You know what I mean? That's what I would ask you. Hey, break bread. You know what I mean? I need some of that. Or give me a drink, you know? Because I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be over 15 years sober, man. You know, it's cutting, what does it say? Cutting, baffling, and powerful, man. It's a twofold disease, man. You know what I mean? It's like, we don't think about time. Time is important. Because if you don't think it is, get it. You know, but it's what you do with that time. Like, my girl, like, I met her, and, like, I used to say, and I'll correct myself right now, I used to say that, because I heard this, that don't make any major decisions for your first year. It doesn't say that in the book nowhere. Because everything the book says is to make major decisions. You know what I mean? So I'm going to clean up an error. Because if somebody loves me enough to point out some stuff, you know, said, hey, man, show me in the book where it says that. And then, man, I started looking, man. And I started looking, and then I started Googling, and then I made some phone calls. It doesn't say that, man. I did. I made a lot of phone calls to people that know the book. And there's some things that it says, but it doesn't say do not make any major decisions. Because everything that you do is a major decision. To stop drinking is a major decision. To say you're powerless is a major decision. To love God it's all major decisions. Like this relationship. You know, my sponsor said, get in a relationship so you can learn. You're going to start feeling. You know, because he wanted me to feel. You know, and when I told him that I was getting in this relationship, that I just met her. Because she was in New Visions, and she called me after she graduated. And we went out, and 10 days later, I'm asking her to move in my house. You know, and I told my sponsor, he says, all I got to say is, because he never told me what to do. He says, just stay sober. And we've been together almost 3 years now. And it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Now, we get along pretty fucking good when I keep my mouth shut. I'm the one that makes the problem. She's smart. She is very spiritual. You know, she works the program. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, don't sell yourself short. It's okay to say that you're not going to drink. It's okay to feel good. We deserve to feel good. And if you're feeling it, man, say, keep the plug in the jug, man. And it's okay to say, I got this today, man. You know? Because the lie will say, I can drink, one, and you know it's a lie. But anyway, let's hear from your wife.
Carly, I'm going to look at it.
Hey, Carly.
I have heard some of your share at the Alarm Club. It wasn't a share, you were sharing from someone else, but one of the things you guys talked about was, you know, your higher power and how that's basically the stuff that's in our mind, foundation of our life.
I'm not going to make it. So, I remember back in the beginning of January, I started studying for the SEED test, which is the test to get into the registered nursing program. And I took it for the first time, and we need like a 62% to pass.
Okay.
Yeah, and I got like a 54, and that's from the learning for next year. And I just told myself that day, like, don't take anything, don't drink anything, you know, just be sober, and I can't do it. And that's for my career. I'm not a physician, but you can only take that test 3 times.
Right.
So, shortly after that, with the support of my husband, I went off to pick for 10 days. And the hardest thing to do was to leave my husband. But I had to let God lead me or do the leading me because it was such a short amount of time, just such a long term, you know, something that's going to be way worth it. And so then I got back home and I kind of got settled into being a mom and we have 5 daughters and, and a wife. And you guys are talking about the teenagers and we're later like, oh, good God. So I started studying for that test again, and I took the test, and not only did I pass, but I passed it with a really good score.
Right.
It's amazing because I felt like that was God telling me, like, that I'm not, you're not ready for this yet. If you go into the RN program, Logan, they're not going to get used to a pill down there, to a pill popper, you know, same. And so, I knew I had to get myself straight before I could get, you know, where I was wanting to go with this career I wanted my whole life. And so it was super exciting since January, it was in January 4th or something, I applied to the first nursing program and I should hear that in a couple of weeks. But, you know, I've just trusted, my friends told me every day, just trust the process. And I'm like, that's easier said than done, but then I've been trying to get my RN for 12 years. And without really realizing that I was trusting the process this whole time. And even though I quit going to school for the next year, because, you know, it started things to look, I never have given up on wanting to become a nurse. And it has made me realize that I want that same motivation to not give up on being sober. Because I'm not going to work as hard as I'm going to have to work in this program to follow my dream just to let, like, one little pill or one little drink of alcohol ruin that for me. So, thank you for your share. It's always a pleasure when you do share, because you have some words that have hurt my life.
Thanks, Charlotte. Sir, from Bill W. I mean, Bill H.
That's almost the same thing.
This dude's badass, man. He's delicate. Yeah.
I am an alcoholic, believe it or not. My name is Bill Hessman. And, man, I was... There's a lot of things I want to say. One of the things I want to say is that I feel like this chair right here, and well, I guess actually that... chair, and that one, and that one, all of the chairs in here are front row seats at the God Show. That people that come in and sit down and adopt this way of life are in for a spectacular ride. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. Money talked about getting fired from his job. I've been fired from several jobs. I mean, like, fired while I was sober. It's not getting fired from your job. It's just about being drunk, man. You know? And then there's also these moments like, okay, so this happened. My friend Suzanne, her parents were coming to town, and I had some ideas about where I thought the relationship was going, and I got a chance to go and meet with her father and ask him if I could marry his daughter. That was kind of a cool day, you know?
And I got his blessing. But there's a lot of really amazing things that happen to the people that come in and stay here. And you know, one of the great blessings in my life has been the friendships I've developed. And you know, Monty talked about this, but his Uncle David was somebody really important to me too. When I first met him, he really irritated me. Some of the best people will really irritate you, right? And I don't know why. It was like a moth to a flame. You know, it's like David would irritate me, but yet there was also something that attracted me to him. And in a span of a 60-minute meeting or an hour and a half meeting, I could go between wanting to hug the guy because I loved him so much and wanting to punch him because I was so angry at something he'd said or did. Or, you know, David was just that kind of guy. And you know what David was doing is David was living. He was living large, man. David lived large. And he used to celebrate, was it every 1,000 days? He'd always talk about going to a big steak and lobster dinner or something. I think it was every 1,000 days or every 5,000 days. I don't know, something. It's probably 1,000 days.
Yeah.
That's like every 3 years, right? Anyway, David was quite a character. He left an imprint here. And I had a chance to work with a guy named Kenny Holcomb. Kenny took me through the 12 steps. He's one of the men that's taken me through the 12 steps. And I remember going to a meeting where Kenny was celebrating, I think it was like 27 years sober or something. It was a lot of time. And it was over at the Visalia Rescue Mission. He had been volunteering there, and he had sort of orchestrated. We tried for years to get this to happen. In fact, I don't think it's happening now. I'm certain it's not. But he managed to get the Visalia Rescue Mission to welcome an AA meeting into their facility for a time. And so the meeting was there, and it was his anniversary of sobriety. And the room was kind of small. It was a room about this size, and it was packed. I mean, this room was full. And one person after another, were talking about the things that they had observed in Kenny, the things Kenny had said or done for them that impacted their lives. And, you know, I just thought to myself, man, if I could manage in a span of 27 years, to impact even a room this size full of people that had positive experiences with me, and that would be dramatically overpaid for my life, you know? And the crazy thing is that along this way, I've also met people like Monty. He and I are sober close to the same amount of time, and we go to H&I conferences. We served out at the he's wearing the shirt. We've gone to men's conferences. We've gone to H&I conferences together. You know, it's funny. I feel really, really close to Monty. Although, I think it might be a month or more since the last time I saw him. So, I mean, I don't necessarily get to be with Monty all the time, but when we are together. It feels like, you know, we just pick off right where we left off. And one of the amazing things that I just love about this guy is, I'm going to tell on him real quick. Okay, I'm going to tell her. Right? I'm going to snitch on him for a minute. So Monty called me up about, I don't know, a week ago or so, and he goes, hey, man, remind me when it was I was supposed to be speaking at this meeting, right? And he kind of hurt my one feeling, you know? I was like, dude, I fucking told you what day. I sent you a text with a map and instructions and fucking everything. What do you mean you don't know what day? And, you know, what I learned through that is that not everybody keeps all their texts. Right? Just because I do doesn't mean everybody does. And in fact, I've run into this before. You know, it's just a different kind of way you use your phone. But anyway, I mentioned to him that it hurt my feelings that what was important to me wasn't important to him. And this jackass has told me now that he won't delete any more of my texts. And, you know, I mean, that's just a stupid little thing, right? But his Uncle David one time. I don't know if this has happened to you, but I was at a meeting and I was sharing something pathetic. I was new. I was, you know, didn't really have anything valuable to say. And David kind of would chuckle, right? He'd kind of laugh and he'd say, "Keep coming back," right? But he'd say it like, "You're a fucking loser. You should keep coming back." That's how I heard it anyway, right? You know, have you heard that before? People kind of look at you and go, "Oh, keep coming back," you know, that kind of thing. And I told his uncle, I said, "You know what, David, that hurts my feelings when you come back." I did. And you know, he only said it to me one more time. And when right after he said it, he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that to you." And it's just amazing the way that people who want to change their lives are willing to actually change, even little things like keeping tags or what we say to each other, you know? And what's really cool is that you know, you get to build relationships with people that, that you have this amazing bond with. And so I encourage you all, you know, find somebody that, and frankly, you know, it's not like Marty and I have a tremendous amount in common, really. If you listen to our stories, I mean, we both burned our lives down with alcohol and drugs, but we did it in many different ways. But what we really have in common is a desire to live different today. And that can be really, really powerful. So thanks for letting me share, brother.
Thank you.
David?
You. Thank you for your share, Monty. I always enjoy listening to you share. There's something super authentic about as I was pondering as what I was going to say, as I am alcoholic, it's all about in this morning, the daily reflection was, are we having fun? And it occurred to me, that's one of the beautiful things about you, is now that you're here, yeah, you get to have fun, right? And I think there's an awful lot about that, that is, you know, it kind of shows the best face of the day. And I know you got the ski boat, and I've heard some stories about it, you know, the fancy ski with the Skyro Foils, but really, you know, in this setting with your share, right, even in appearance, what got you here, and what it was that got that change in your life. And it's a God that trusting that God has just turned everything away. It's a great share. I'm always glad to hear it. Thank you for that. That's enough out of it.
Okay. Right. Thanks, everybody. Hey, thanks, Monty. The Valley Group encourages sponsorship and service to our fellowship. We invite you to come early and to stay after the meeting to better acquaint